Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Austin. Howdy, Austin.
Howdy. Chirp, chirp, motherfuckers.
Wake up.
Chirp, chirp. There's birds outside my window. They're making noise.
At least it's not the rabid squirrel.
I'm sure he's out there, too.
I'll find out when I come and visit.
Why are these birds even here? It's fucking winter. Go away.
It is not winter, Austin. It is 75 degrees outside.
Well, the birds certainly don't think it's winter, because they're here.
They did not fly south.
No, they did not. Winter started 7 days ago.
Did it really?
Yes, it did.
I would have never known it. Anyway, it's post-holidays as of when this comes out.
We're in that post-holiday malaise, I would say.
The dead days between Christmas and New Year's.
Where you should be relaxing, but you're too tired to relax.
I know this is going to come out post-New Year's, but I just have to know, how did your holidays go?
Me?
Is there anybody else here with us?
I thought you were talking to the audience. You can tell I'm kind of out of it.
I'll ask you the question first, and then of course I pose the same question to the audience. But tell us how your holidays went, Austin.
Eh, I don't like this time of year. I'm a Halloween kind of guy.
I know. Halloween's always over so fast, though.
I know.
There's not as much lead up to it as there is Christmas.
Wake me up when it's Groundhog Day. That's when I really shine.
Well, I guess you can say that the holidays are over.
Nope, New Year's hasn't happened yet.
Eh.
You don't like New Year's?
Do we really have, like, a big plan for New Year's?
Well, you're gonna hang out with me.
I mean, okay, aside from getting together to see friends, like, that's always really fun. But as far as, like, the New Year's tradition, and maybe I sound like a complete Grinch saying this, but I guess maybe I'm at the point where I'm like, well, if you've seen one ball drop countdown to New Year's, you've seen them all.
Yeah, but sometimes Mariah Carey makes a fool of herself.
Was that last year?
That was, or like, was that the 10 years ago.
Oh.
What year was that?
I thought somebody made a fool of themselves recently, or maybe that's every year somebody makes a fool of themselves.
Someone always doing something. Mariah Carey, New Year's flub.
Was this the lip sync incident?
Yeah, she couldn't hear. The mic was fucked up. It wasn't her fault. It was 2016 into 2017,
I guess.
Oh my
god, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I remember watching that live and being like, what is happening?
Okay, I could never be a performer, so maybe this is really easy for me to say as somebody who's not up on stage, like, singing and all the technical things that go into a performance. But, I mean, maybe, like, is it as big of a deal? But she's a professional. Like, I think she should have played it more cool.
Yeah, she did not handle it well. I don't know what she's supposed to do.
I imagine there's a lot of nerves, though. I mean, you're performing at a New Year's party for, like, millions of people. Maybe it's just nerves. I don't know.
I mean, she was mad.
Yeah, well she made a lot of money.
We'll watch it again.
Doing that, so. How mad sorry, can Mariah. You really... Yeah, oh, sorry. How mad can you really be when you're making millions? Speaking of millions, I'm sad to report that neither myself or Austin won the $1 billion Powerball.
I didn't enter.
That's why I said we didn't win the Powerball.
Okay. Did you buy a ticket?
I tried to, but then I couldn't remember my login, so I got locked out of my account.
Oh, you don't just go to the store and buy one?
Nah, I was too lazy.
Oh, I didn't know you could have a Powerball account online.
You can have the lottery app on your phone.
Oh. No, I want a ticket. I want a physical item.
A physical ticket?
Yeah.
Whatever. The odds are so astronomically high that... Statistically, and I know some of you might be saying, well, somebody won, so, but the odds that it was going to be me, yeah, right. Good for those people, though. I don't know. There's that show that kind of chronicled what happened to people after they won the lottery, and...
Ooh, what show is this?
Oh my gosh, what was it called exactly? It was like I won the lottery and it ruined my life or something.
HGTV's My Lottery Dream Home?
No, that's not it. No, that's not it.
The Lottery Changed My Life.
Is that what it is? The Lottery Changed My Life?
I don't know.
Anyway, it was basically showing people's lives that were ruined because they won the lottery. So my advice is never win the lottery because apparently...
What have you been up to other than losing the lottery?
Nothing. I did not buy ZA for myself for Christmas.
Hmm. And no one else bought it for you?
And nobody else bought it for me, so... I might just borrow it from you after all.
Yeah, I think you might just borrow it from me.
And not return it for 5 years, so.
Oh, well, I already expected that. That's why I gotta finish it completely before you can have it.
Exactly, because you won't see it for a while.
I finished the credits of the DLC. I finished the credits, but there's like still more to come after that. There's still more to do. So I don't know why the credits played when they did.
Is it in the same vein as ZA where it's just... more battling, battle royale?
Well, there's more megas to get.
Oh.
More bosses.
Interesting.
Like, the story's not complete. I don't know why the credits rolled.
Pokemon always does that.
I don't know. It's weird.
They have an early credits roll and then more stuff after.
Whatever. I'm not too impressed with it.
Oh. That's too bad. I would say wait for a sale, but as we know, there are no sales on Pokemon.
Should we jump right into feedback?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, honestly, you guys out there, let us know how your holidays went. I think this year was pretty low-key for both myself and Austin, but if you guys had some fun and excitement over the holidays, let us know what you did. Did you go anywhere? Did you do something fun? What did you get from Santa? Let us know. Speaking of feedback, yes, I think we should jump right in.
Why don't you go first, Alex?
Oh, okay. I will go first then. Put me on the spot, and now I gotta get my app open.
Well, I wasn't ready either. That's why I volunteered you.
So, we had some feedback from our listener, Liam, over on Instagram. Hello, Liam. Hope you had a nice holiday season. I think this was in relation to the question we kind of asked last week on what everybody's favorite generation was or favorite Pokemon. Liam shares that he is a Gen 3 until the day he dies. Mainly because it was the one airing when he was a kid. Also because he thinks it overall gave us the best designs. I agree. He says, Metagross, Kyogre, Rayquaza, Salamence, Latios, Latias, the Regis, Milotic, Crawdaunt, Flygon, Camerupt, Altaria, Gardevoir, and Breloom. All bangers, I will agree.
I can't disagree with any of those.
I know. I think Liam has a point here. He goes on to say, while his favorite starters are Chikorita and Totodile, Gen 3 has the best starter, mid, and final evolution starters overall. Then after that, it's a tie with Gen 4 and Gen 1 as his favorites. Those are all great takes. I love all of that.
Well, Gen 3 and Gen 4 are very popular amongst, I think, our demographic. Because Pokemon Megastar says that their favorite is Gen 3, with Gen 4 as a close second.
Got a lot of Gen 3 and Gen 4 fans. I love this.
I think all the people listening to this are our age.
Yay! Yeah. Just how we intended it to be.
Pokemon Megastar was not a fan of my monologue delivery. Simply saying, Austin, what the heck?
Okay, you have to remind us because you go on a lot of monologues.
Mrs. Pussy?
Oh!
You forgot about that one?
That wasn't Austin, though, okay? That was Kim Kardashian.
It was actually Sarah Paulson.
Oh, sorry.
So, Pokemon Megastar points out that we missed something about Dr. Abby.
Oh, the aromatherapy lady?
Not the aromatherapy lady.
Oh, she was the massage lady. Acupressure lady.
Yes, acupressure lady. She said that after Johnny evolved into Delcatty, that she said she left Dr. Moss's practice to start her own practice. So presumably Dr. Moss is still alive somewhere.
She left Dr. Moss.
Left him. She got her moonstone and she was out of there.
Okay, but that's what she says and she claims. She very well could have murdered him. We don't know.
I mean, he's probably a skin suit in her closet. We don't know.
She fed him to Delcatty.
You know what we forgot to mention too?
We forget to mention a lot of things and I'm sorry for that.
There was another episode of May and Skitty where they met a lady alone, and she was on the farm, the Nummel farm, and that lady taught her how to use assist. Because she was also a former coordinator.
Did we forget that?
We didn't mention it.
Sorry, when you were talking about that, I was just suddenly thinking of the Men at Work song, Down Under. I met a strange lady.
Why did you think that?
She made me nervous.
I'm sorry. What?
You said she met a lady. So oh. I don't know. This is where my brain goes, y'all.
Oh my god. Okay. Playing fourth dimensional chess with me. Well, all I'm trying to say is there are three very similar episodes about May and Skitty. Not just two. We forgot the Nummel lady.
Well, in our defense, there's a lot of weird characters that just happen.
Alright, MVPs, LVPs. For the Watt and Watson episode, LVP is Watts Ampharos for going down to Skitty. And the MVP is all the twerp Pokemon for having fun at Team Rocket's fair. For the second episode, which is the Johnny episode, MVP to Alex for her amazing voice impression. I don't know what that's referring to.
What did I do? Did I do a voice?
Oh, I know what it is. It's when you said...
Oh my god.
I can't do it. The German... Hello.
Oh god. Oh no.
I forgot about that. We were losing it at that point. We were gone.
I am so sorry to all of our German friends. I'm so sorry. But I appreciate the compliment.
LVP to the twerps for being fat phobic.
Yeah.
What
they
was that?
They need to get a grip. Because you know what? It's the early 2000s and fat jokes were like all the rage.
It's coming back.
Oh. I'm out of the loop on pop culture. Is it really?
I'm sure it is. Everything horrible is coming back.
Cyclical. Well, thanks for the feedback. Is that all from you, Austin?
I'm getting raptured again.
Oh my god, you really are.
Look at the screen. Look at me.
I know, he's basically a bright white light.
Why is this happening?
I am telling you, please, get some curtains.
I have curtains.
Close the curtains.
I can't have curtains for this entire wall.
You can.
I can't have, like, 15 feet worth of curtain.
Believe in me who believes in you.
God.
Thank you for the feedback. We'd love to hear it. Oh my goodness. Our two episodes this week are Take the Lombre Home and True Blue Swablu. Okay, so Dragonite coin, please.
Okay. Thank you for instructing me, because I need it.
Oh my gosh.
Tell me what to do, Dom Mommy.
Flip that coin. Ooh. Do it now.
Heads, I'm doing the 30-second flash challenge.
Woohoo. Means I have to talk about the crazy Lombre people. Great.
I did that on purpose.
You gave me this episode on purpose? Are you cheating?
No, not really. No, I did not. Look, cheating. It was heads. Heads.
Cheat that way, SpongeBob.
Look at the Dragonite. He said heads.
I see him. Well, I see that you're holding the heads up to the camera, but that doesn't mean it's how it landed. Who knows?
Well, I see Alex's reflection on the Dragonite coin. That's cool.
This is really disconcerting. I don't like this. Ugh. Get that ugly mug away from me. Ooh.
Don't be mean to Dragonite, and don't be mean to yourself.
I'm being mean to myself. My New Year's resolution is be mean to myself.
What the fuck?
I was swallowing while you said that, and I started laughing and started choking. I'm gonna get the timer.
Okay, you do that.
All right. Are you ready to take the Lombre through this challenge?
Ready as I'll ever be. I wish I had a funny gag for this one, but I don't. And that's sad.
It's all right. It's all right. I really wish you had like a hat or something that you could wear.
A Lombre like hat?
You
wish I had a Lombre hat ready to go?
I do wish that. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Shake your groove thing.
Shake your groove thing. Shake your groove thing, Lombre. Oh, God, I'm wasting time. Lotad evolves randomly into a Lombre. There's a Solrock, and there's some weird people, because apparently we're back in Johto now. And they worship Lombre as a god, but the one girl in town who's not a crazy person is like, science! And they're like, fuck your science. And then they worship Solrock as a god after they nearly beat it to death with sticks.
Time? Yeah, that's about the episode, actually.
This is a weird one.
We are back in Johto. This is very Johto-coded episode.
Well, it's very, like, Misty Village, or, like, the people who thought Team Rocket were superheroes, or any number of weird ones.
You know, I feel like there's a concerning number of villages in the Pokemon region, like, as a whole. Because this isn't even just contained to, like, Johto. Now we're seeing it in Hoenn as well.
Well, I think they're all contained near Petalburg.
They're close to a major city center. So why are all these people seemingly, like, lacking in modern ideologies and technology? Like, what is it that is removing all of these people from...
Well, I don't know, Alex. We could get in a car right now and drive 30 minutes in any direction and be in the middle of some scary-ass places. I'm just saying.
Okay. Maybe you're right. Never mind. Yeah. I forgot where we lived.
Yeah, there's some concerning signage around the roads.
You know when what? You
leave the city center.
That's true. Don't listen to me. I'm sitting here. Well, okay. I'm thinking of it through the lens of, like, Pokemon's a utopia. Those kind of weird ideologies don't exist in Pokemon because it's a great place to be. But then when you put it in that perspective, I'm like, yeah, you really don't have to go very far out of our city at all to find some really backwards ass shit. So.
Some deliverance shit.
I can totally see where you're coming from. Okay.
That is not to disparage everyone who lives in a rural area. I know the vast majority of people are perfectly normal and fine. However, there are some people who are not normal and fine.
We don't mean to offend all of our Lombre villagers out there. Okay, so.
Good luck with this episode. Goddamn.
I know. I need to, like, focus up because this is a weird one. So we start out with Ash and the gang, and they're walking to Petalburg, and guys, get ready, because I'm assuming that it's going to take a minute to get to Petalburg. Am I right?
It's gonna be a bit.
Okay. I was right. We should all be used to Ash's narcissism by now, all these many years later, but every time it happens, I'm still like, oh, Ash. Max makes some comment to May to the effect of, Norman and Caroline, Mom and Dad, are going to be so proud of you, May, for winning your two contest ribbons. Like, this is really great. You've come a long way. And Ash takes this moment to butt in and declare to his friends that they are going to be proud of him when he wins his 25th badge. I was like, chill out,
Ash. Oh, you counted.
I did. I went back to count because I'm like, this is not just his, like, fifth badge in Hoenn. This is his 25th badge overall.
Should we discount the Orange League and that? Should we get rid of those four?
It's a badge.
A badge is a badge.
It's a badge is a badge. So I'm like, please, Ash, pipe down. This is not about you. But after he toots his own horn, Ash realizes that he's quite parched from all that tooting.
Damn.
Unfortunately, they're all out of water because they only have a single canteen that they all drink out of and get their backsplash in. Also, I'm really surprised at the lack of, like, preparedness. Well, maybe I shouldn't be surprised.
Well, Brock says it's all according to Keikaku. There's a reason he didn't fill the canteen.
That is the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. I'm not going to specifically put water in this canteen because...
Surprise!
I have a plan. This is ridiculous. With the amount of times they get lost...
Brock might as well get LEP for that shit.
He should, because that's dumb. You should always have a contingency plan. Anyway, like Austin mentioned, Brock's big plan is that he did not fill the canteens because there's apparently a very well-known freshwater spring nearby. So he was waiting to go to that to fill up the canteens, apparently.
Okay.
So then a lot happens all at once. Team Rocket shows up. They're planning a harebrained scheme to steal all the water. A Zubat flies out of the trees and scares the twerps. Oh my gosh, cue laugh track. And then Brock sees a Solrock in the woods.
There really is a lot happening all at one time.
There is. The Zubat thing doesn't go anywhere. I'm just going to tell y'all now. So forget the Zubat. But Brock sees this Solrock and he kind of seems interested in it. And maybe he's like, ooh, that'd be nice to have. I don't know. So as they're going towards it, the twerps fall into a pit trap. Oh my God, Team Rocket's here.
I do like how they see the Solrock and they're like, let's go bother it. And they're like, let's leave the path and go pester this fucking floating rock thing.
We know that's the one good thing the twerps are good at, is bothering wild Pokemon and disturbing the peace.
That is true.
But before they can go bother it, they fall in the trap and they're like, oh, you Team Rocket. But before they can really do anything, Solrock comes over, and Solrock has the best voice of like a wild Pokemon.
Do the voice. Do the voice.
Can I even do it?
It's like, I can't do it.
Or something.
Not quite.
How do I do it? I need like an auto-tuner.
I can't do it.
It has a funny voice, believe me, okay? Just take my word for it. So it blasts Team Rocket off, very helpful. They're like, wow, that Solrock's so great. But it disappears like right after. And they're like, oh no, we wanted to say thank you. Too bad. So they continue on because they see a village in the distance. And this village is themed after Lotad and Lombre, because all of their little houses are built like looking like Lombre heads. And the twerps are still parched. They're dying of thirst. And they decide to have the Pokemon search for water. But unfortunately, this doesn't work. We see Mudkap. We see Mudkip for the first time in a while. We see Lotad for the first time in a while. And Corphish makes an appearance, but is largely useless because all he finds is like a clay pot.
I thought that was interesting.
I mean, it was interesting.
I was like, oh, it's an archaeological find, Corphish. Good job.
I know. If they kept digging, would there have been like ancient artifacts and stuff to find in that?
From the ancient Lombre Society?
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll never know. Because Mudkip interrupts and leads them to a well, which is unfortunately bone dry. But Lotad falls in comically, and Brock pulls him up in the bucket. But while Lotad didn't find any water, he does find the will to evolve randomly out of nowhere.
He's at his ancestral home of the Lombre village.
Is this like that episode where all of the gloom got exposed to shards of leafstone or like sunstone and like evolved? Did he get, like, exposed to a chemical or something?
Well, Lombre evolves into Ludicolo with a water stone. Is that right?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm not saying, I mean, obviously it's not a stone evolution from Lotad into Lombre, but was there something on the bottom of that well that, like, triggered it?
Corpses of previously sacrificed great Lombres that triggered an evolution?
Yeah, maybe.
We didn't see the bottom of the well. It could have been anything down there.
But yeah, so he evolves. Now we have, like, Lombre, so what do you think about Lombre? I think he's...
Lotad's cute. We didn't see very much of it. I was very surprised by how little we saw Lotad, actually.
Before he evolved?
Yeah, and now it's a Lombre. Lombre, I know it's a Kappa, but there's just something disconcerting about Lombre and Ludicolo for me. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
There was a weird... Okay, I think the Pokédex entry for this episode is really weird when it tells us about Lombre. It said something to the effect of, it gets mistaken for a small child?
Yeah, what was that? What kind of small child are you seeing, Dextet?
I don't understand how that could be. Like, is there a lot of small children that walk around with, like, big hats on in the middle of the night?
We should have had an episode where people got Lombre and Max confused. I'm not sure what it would be, but...
Oh, that would actually have been a cute idea.
Like, put Lombre in Max's glasses and send him out into the world.
How would that, like, what would that setup be, though?
I don't know. Come back to me on that. I'll workshop
it. It's a good foundation of an idea, but put a pin in that. Okay, so now we have Lombre. Goodbye, Lotad. Lombre seems like he's a little bit smarter?
Does he?
I mean, he just kind of dances around. I don't know if he's got the same comic relief as Lotad does.
I mean, I guess Lotad just kind of stood there and then would, like, suddenly become active for a moment. And Lombre dances sometimes.
I mean, it doesn't seem as goofy, but I could be wrong. Maybe we need to see it a little more. I know what eventually happens, but we'll get there, I guess. This evolution is apparently enough to send a local woman who has run up on them out of the blue into an absolute frenzy. She is overcome. She's like, oh my god, the great and powerful Lombre is here. Our lives are saved. This is so wonderful.
Big Great Zatu vibes.
Yes, big Great Zatu vibes indeed. She explains to the twerps that the great and powerful Lombre is a spirit guardian creature that lives around their village, and when their village is besieged by crisis and misfortune, it appears to save them. And what is the crisis and misfortune, you might ask? Well, that would be the appearance of Solrock. Because when all the rest of the Lombre cosplaying villagers come out, who have all been like hiding in their Lombre huts up until now, one of them is a girl named Mary. And Mary is the granddaughter of Grandma Lombre. That's what I'm going to call her because I don't know what her name is.
Goldopedia says it's Tallulah. Where did that come from?
Tallulah?
Tallulah.
For the record, they did not say Tallulah in the anime.
Yeah, who knows where that came from? Same place the T in Richie came from, I guess. Ayo!
Ayo!
The T in Richie stands for Tallulah.
So Mary is this girl, the granddaughter, and she explains to them that up until recently, they've had an abundance of water in their village because the source is a sacred spring where Water Lord Lombre supposedly lives. But also, recently, a meteorite fell near the spring. More meteorite shenanigans.
Yeah, Solrock and Lunatone are very spacey as well.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, how Hoenn has a very large space and universe type of theme going on. But this meteorite fell near the spring some time ago, and that's when Solrock appeared. Not sure if the two are connected in the fact that, like, did it come from the meteorite or did it just appear because there was a meteorite? I don't know.
Do they come from space? I think there's an episode that addresses this.
Maybe.
Who knows?
What are the Pokedex entries for Solrock?
Here we go.
Lunatone say. We have to do our research. We have to do our due diligence.
All right, let's find out.
Is this like a Clefairy thing? Does it say they come from space?
A Solrock is a new species of Pokemon that is said to have fallen from space.
Oh.
It reads the emotions of others. Solar energy is a source of its power. On sunny days, Solrock line up facing the sun. The Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum says it's rumored to be from the sun itself.
Oh, so there is a connection.
But it's rumored and said to be. That doesn't mean it is.
Rumored. Okay, well, either way, the Solrock is here now, and alongside it has come a drought, which the villagers are like, okay, this is the cause of all of our problems. They're very superstitious, and then as a result, they're very distrustful of this Solrock and they don't like it. But unlike her superstitious grandmother, Mary believes there's a scientific reason behind the drought and not some sort of like evil curse that Solrock has brought. So the villagers are like, okay, we know how to rectify this. Clearly, all we have to do is a rain dance to summon the great and powerful Lombre spirit and return the water to our village. They start dancing around. Lombre is getting very into this. Everybody's having a grand old time. A bunch of wild Pokemon pour out of the bushes to join in with this dancing. And it's all just a big fun time, a grand old party. But the only Pokemon that's not showing up is Solrock. And they're like, well, we need this Solrock to, you know, reasons.
Yeah, why do we need the Solrock?
I don't know.
I think the twerps are like, we need to prove to the villagers that Solrock is nice.
Oh, is that their reasoning?
Okay.
Okay. This is Ash's, like, personal, like, mission. He wants to prove, I guess, that Solrock isn't evil.
I mean, admittedly, as far as the twerps know, there's no way to solve a drought. But there is a way to solve Pokemon prejudice.
That's true. They're doing their part. But Brock theorizes that Solrock, because it can read minds, probably won't show up because it senses that the villagers don't like it. So why would it put itself into a situation for it to be attacked, ridiculed, whatever? But they also have another theory. And that theory is that Lombre is a Pokemon with no thoughts, just vibes, good vibes. So they're like, okay, Lombre doesn't hate anything, so let's put it front and center and hide in the bushes. Because apparently, bushes block Solrock's mind reading powers.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah. We'll hide. It can't tell we're here.
Trainers.
Oh, trainers.
Trainers. Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Roselia?
Oh no, I was hoping it was going to be like an evolution or something.
Electabuzz, Grovyle, or Camerupt?
So my gut tells me it's Camerupt, but we all know that there's going to be some crazy reason why it's not that.
Well, according to Ash, if you chose Camerupt, you were right.
Oh, but wait, Austin. It's part ground type, so does that have some bearing on this?
Liam, let us know. We don't know.
Okay, what were the other choices? Grovyle and
Electabuzz, which I feel like both of those are bad options. Grovyle will be the worst because Roselia has poison.
Okay.
Over Grovyle. And Electabuzz, I guess electric moves are not as effective on grass types.
Okay, please, please somebody tell us. Are we thinking, am I not remembering something right with the ground type? It's got to be right, but like, ah.
Okay, trainers, if you chose Camerupt, I think Camerupt would use one fire type move and Roselia would be dead. So I think we're good.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased. I'm pleased that Ash says we're right. So I'll take the W. With that out of the way, back to the action. So Solrock is here now. And to move the plot along, I guess, at this point, Skitty ball pops.
Well, it wouldn't be an episode of Pokemon without Skitty.
I know.
Skitty, 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 Skitty.
Somebody on the writing team really loves Skitty.
They are trying to make Skitty happen so bad.
Well, I imagine there were a lot of plushies to sell at this point in time.
And they were really ugly, so no one bought them.
I mean, they gambled on the fact that, like, people love cats, but Skitty is like a weird alien cat.
I guess they're going for like a Psyduck thing with Skitty, maybe.
Maybe, but just not as like goofy.
It's not working for me.
No, sorry to say. Skitty was never like a favorite. But anyway, it has to move the plot along somehow, and we have to get away from this Solrock Lombre thing that we're doing. So it ball pops and runs into a nearby cave. How it knew there was something going down in this cave, I have no idea.
Skitty read the script.
You know what? If anybody should have known what was going on, it was Solrock. Because Solrock can read minds and it's a psychic type. So how come it didn't sense what was going on in the cave and try to lead the twerps to the cave to prove itself that it wasn't the cause of the issue? Why did it have to be Skitty? It would have made more sense to be Solrock.
But Skitty has to have a prominent role in every episode, Alex.
Oh, God. Sorry. Sorry. Anyway, so this is where May and Mary discover that Team Rocket has a giant pump, and they have been pumping out all the water.
Nestle.
Yeah, Team Rocket is a metaphor for the evil Nestle Corporation. So they're bottling fresh spring water to sell right out from under everyone, just like Nestle. And Meowth has a boss fantasy where he declares that Giovanni can use Lombre and Solrock. I guess he wants to catch them. He can use Lombre to wash his face in, Lombre's head, and Solrock can then dry him off with, like, fire.
He was naked in a robe, so I'll take it.
Yeah, this wasn't chibi Giovanni, by the way. This was semi-naked Giovanni, so a win's a win. Okay, I have a question for you, Austin, specifically. The version of this I watched had a very weird moment where the cutaway was very strangely timed.
Oh.
Like, May and Mary ran up on Team Rocket to confront them. And they're like, hey, Team Rocket. And then it immediately cuts back to the grandma and the villagers.
I don't remember that happening.
Did that not happen for you?
Maybe it did, and I just didn't notice it happening. I was watching the official Viz Complete Collection DVD box set.
I was not.
And I don't recall that happening, but I am currently on SarahB.net looking at the picture thumbnails that they have to see maybe what you're talking about.
Because it was basically like when Mary and May run up on Team Rocket, they have a line of dialogue confronting them, like, hey, Team Rocket, something to that effect, I can't remember exactly. But it kind of cuts as she's speaking.
Oh, as she's speaking.
Like, she doesn't finish her sentence before.
Okay, I'm sending you pictures where it looks like it ends with May, and then it cuts to Lombre and Solrock.
Okay, yeah, that must be it then. Because, like, it's the shot where Mary and May are standing there with Skitty, and then it, like, immediately cuts to the next scene with Grandma and Lombre. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that weirdness aside, we're back to this weirdness where Grandma and the villagers are crashing out because Solrock is having fun and they can't stand to see the cause of their misery and pain having fun. So they're not going to stand for this. But before they can like jump out and like attack Solrock, they're interrupted by Team Rocket and their popular Pokemon magazine Kappa Mecha.
Not my favorite mecha.
No, no. But Solrock steps in to defend them. So that was really nice of it. Solrock blasts off Team Rocket, but it begins spinning wildly and ridiculously out of control until it becomes a literal fireball and starts hurtling towards their village, which I'm assuming is made completely out of wood, which is bad news bears. So they're like, oh my god.
That's what these people have coming.
I know, they were gonna like kill Solrock, so.
Raise it to the ground, Solrock.
Meanwhile, it's like doing its weird blubbering noises that it's doing. It's absolutely crazy. Brock calls out Mudkip and Lombre to help. Ash just stands there. I don't think he uses Corphish to help. Does he?
No. Ash is bored of this episode too. He's done.
Ash is ready to see this village burn to the ground. He's like, that's just what you... He's on Team Austin. He's like, that's what you guys deserve.
That's what you get for harassing this thing.
Yeah. He's ready to let it burn. So Brock is like, okay, I'm not gonna be party to, like, destruction. So he has his Pokemon use Water Gun. And somehow, the act of cooling off Solrock with Water Gun and just the little amount of steam that begins rising off of it as it's hit with the Water Gun is enough to influence the water cycle for this entire geographical area because it starts to cause the condensation to rise into the atmosphere, form rain clouds within a matter of seconds, and then cause it to rain.
I think a better conclusion might have been if Lombre learned Rain Dance.
Right? Where was that?
That would have made a lot more sense.
I'm so glad you brought that up. In story
and out, yeah.
I was sitting there this whole entire episode thinking to myself that exact thing when it was dancing on top of the shrine. I thought for sure it was going to learn a new move. And that move was going to be Rain Dance. And then, of course, Grandma and the villagers could have been vindicated and been like, oh, great Lord Lombre, Rain Dance worked. But instead, I mean, this isn't so bad because it kind of gives them the push in the right direction they need to accept Solrock, despite defying, like, science and causing it to now rain enough to fill the entire river in spring within minutes. But yeah, Grandma declares that her friendship with Lombre has ended, and now Solrock is her new best friend as a result.
We need to get this Solrock the hell out of here. Let's save this thing.
Yeah, how long until they hate it again?
Get it out.
It seems happy enough to stay.
Okay. Alright.
They rip off their Lombre hats, and now they have somehow, underneath the Lombre hats, have hidden Solrock headbands. How long they've had those, I do not know.
Can we please leave this village never to speak of it again?
Yes, we can, because that's what we're doing now.
Goodbye.
The twerps are like, okay, that was really strange. We're going to leave now. Oh, but Brock does offer to stay, which I'm really glad that Mary did not hear him or chose to ignore him, rather, because he was like, I can help stay and, you know, hang out with you. And he's like, never mind. Y'all hate me. Goodbye.
I think Mary should have left.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little disappointed that she didn't, like, pursue her passion in science and, like, go off to Petalburg or something, but...
MVP, LVP, end quote.
Yes.
I'm going first. Oh, boy.
Got any ideas there?
No. I'll take the good quote, though.
Oh, no, I think... Oh, I have a couple. What's the good
one? Okay, this is the good one. Jesse says, so much for our great bottled water plan, James says, and all our liquid assets. And Meow says, yeah, well, speaking of that, it's time for us to kiss ours goodbye.
Ayo.
It was kind of clunky.
It was clunky, but the intention was there.
Lip flaps, but someone wanted to make an ass joke, and you know what? A win's a win.
I mean, how often do they have an opportunity to make an ass joke?
Anything to fill that dialogue.
Yep.
MVP. Jesus Christ. can you help me out here? Do you have any backups?
MVPs? Look, I just come up with this stuff, like, now. I used to write it down ahead of time, but then I was like, where's the fun in that?
Yeah, but sometimes you hit a wall, and it's like, ugh. Okay, I didn't say LVP goes to Brock for some reason, right? Why did I say that?
Did you say that?
Didn't I?
I don't know.
I'm just going to assume I did. And LVP goes to Brock for some reason that I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, for the canteen.
Oh, right. At the beginning, duh.
Yeah, that was an LVP for sure.
He was not a proper Boy Scout and was not prepared.
And you know what? This is going to be crazy. I'm going to give it my MVP to Skitty for the third episode in a row. Because I don't know what's happening with me. But Skitty was like, this episode needs to end now. And was like, we're going to finish this up now. So MVP for that. Skitty's on my side. Okay. We're done with this crap. We're done.
Fair enough.
What is with being Skitty MVPs? I'm weird.
I know. As you sit there and say, Skitty isn't it for me. Skitty's weird.
MVP Skitty.
MVP Skitty for a third time. Maybe you should just admit to yourself that you really like Skitty.
I love Skitty. It's my favorite Pokemon of all time. Give me Skitty merchandise immediately.
Okay, what's the newest, like, cute Pokemon that, like, people love?
I don't know.
Aside from, like, Eevee, because I feel like Eevee's, like, always a constant. Is there, like, a current...
People were freaking out over Smoliv for some reason.
Yeah, but is that, like, the cute Pokemon right now?
I don't know.
From, like, Gen 9?
People were freaking out about Sprigatito because of the weed cat jokes.
I don't see a lot of, like, people talking about Palmy, so maybe it's not Palmy. Is there one at all?
Lechonk.
Oh, is that, like, the memeable one currently?
People were freaking out about Lechonk for a second there.
Okay, but have you ever seen a Lechonk plushie?
I actually think I have.
I guess there really isn't, like, a definitively cutesy Pokemon. Anyway, I guess my roundabout point I'm trying to make is I haven't seen a Skitty plushie in real life in, like, 20 years.
Wow.
Do people even know what Skitty is? Do the younger people know? Do you kids out there know?
It's all Mimikyu these days.
You know what? It is Mimikyu. I have a Mimikyu plushie right behind me.
There I know it is. You.
Right over there. From the one time I won the crane game at that really weird arcade we went to.
Are you trying to delay doing your MVP and LVP because you don't know what you're going to say?
No, I'm just talking because that's what I do. I talk about nothing.
Okay, great.
Okay, my MVP is...
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those episodes.
You gave it to Skitty. I'm going to give it to Solrock, I guess.
Yes, that's the right choice.
Solrock is fun. I don't really think about it a lot. It was kind of a gimmicky Pokemon back then, I guess. It's Sun and Moon. I mean, it was cool back in the day. But I really liked it in the anime. I liked its voice. I thought that was fun.
It just wants to party.
Yeah, it just wants to party. Aside from it, like, spiraling out of control in a ridiculous way and almost killing everyone, like, it's fun. And honestly, I mean, like we said, the villagers probably would have deserved it if that happened to them, because they were going to, like, ritualistically sacrifice Solrock to the water gods. So.
Yeah, Solrock was defending itself. Like, let's be real. It could read minds.
It could. It knew all it the knew bad
exactly
stuff.
Exactly what they were going to do that thing. Like, it knew what was coming for it.
Do we get a similar Lunatone focused episode later?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I look forward to that. I wonder what that's going to be like. Probably not as weird as this.
Well, there's some returning characters in the Lunatone episode.
Is it Professor Cosmo? You said he doesn't come back.
No, it's not Professor Cosmo.
Returning character.
You would literally never guess.
Oh, God. Okay.
They always bring back, like, the worst characters, but we'll get there when we get there.
They never bring back characters that make any kind of sense, no. Anyway, my LVP is going to be Nestle.
Oh, well deserved. Not the first time you've given Nestle LVP on this podcast.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
I don't remember that at all.
I do. Hold on. Let me see if I'm right. I'm checking the Johto MVP LVP.
I am going to completely lose it if...
I was right.
Are you serious?
You gave Nestle LVP in the episode where they went to the ruins of Alf and found all the Ammonites and Amistars. And there was that guy who never washed his hair.
I don't remember that at all.
Because there was a water shortage.
Is it because of Nestle?
Because the Ammonites were clogging... No, Team Rocket were... This is a repeat of that episode, because Team Rocket were stealing all the water, and they were finding the Ammonites in the water. That's right. Oh, it's coming back to me now. And you gave Nestle LVP for that episode.
Wowzers. See, I'm the best target audience for an anime like Pokemon, because I have a short-term memory, and I don't remember that they've done episodes in the past, so it's perfect.
That was three seasons ago. It was quite a while.
To be fair. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to go off on a little soapbox for just a second. For just a second, bear with me. For anybody out there that doesn't know, you might be like, what are you talking about, Alex? What's so wrong with Nestle? They have good chocolate. Oh my God. Here's a Wikipedia article, Controversies of Nestle, and I'm just going to read out a couple. You can do your own research. They own a lot of companies, by the way, so you may think, oh, I'm avoiding them, but you really need to be very specific.
Do they own Tombstone Pizza?
I do not know. They own a lot. I think maybe, but I don't know. Yeah. They own Purina, so if you have pets and buy that and you want to boycott Nestle, don't buy that. Okay, controversies of Nestle. Since the 70s, Nestle has faced criticism for no less than forced labor, modern slavery, child labor, incidents of contaminated and infested food products, preventing access to non-bottled water in impoverished countries, issues around animal welfare commitment, actively spreading disinformation about recycling, illegal water pumping from drought-stricken Native American reservations, price-fixing, union-busting activity, deforestation, and lobbying to support misinformation about infant and women's nutrition. In 2014, they alone spent an estimated $160,000 on lobbying related to special supplemental nutrition program for infants, women, and children. And the list goes on and on and on. They are a horrible, soulless corporation, and you should do your absolute best to avoid them.
I just need to know about that Tombstone Pizza.
Okay, do we need to look up what brands Nestle owns now?
Yeah, I'm on it. No, it's Red Baron. That's what they own.
It is very hard to avoid companies when they become like this, but that's a testament to terrible policy. So, anyway, we could go on and on about that, but that's just a small sampling of how terrible they are. So they get LVP again for the second time. So my quote is...
Oh.
What? No. What?
Pizza brands owned by Nestle include DiGiorno, Tombstone, California Pizza Kitchen, Jack's, and Delicio.
Yeah, that's why I stopped going to California Pizza Kitchen.
I did not know that. Okay,
good to know. Anyway. Okay, so my quote is going to be when they are hiding in the bushes using Lombre as bait for Solrock to come out. Ash says, I get it. That Lombre isn't thinking any bad thoughts, right? May replies, that's safe to assume. And Max chimes in, I doubt Lombre is thinking any thoughts at all.
I love when they're mean.
Oh, that's it from me.
Next one, True Blue Swablue. What'd you think of this one?
It made me angry.
Okay, we're going to get to it.
Ooh.
All right. So, after Mudkip and Lombre created a weather situation with the flaming soul rock, that apparently has caused a huge lightning storm to be produced. And it is it's causing havoc.
Wait. Are you actually, like, summarizing the episode right now?
God damn it.
We didn't do the 30 seconds.
The 30-second summary.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Backing up. Well, you backed up. And you know what? I think we forgot to do the flash challenge. And you know what else? What?
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so yes, like Austin said, the weather-related shenanigans continue. They have caused a giant problem in the fact that there's a thunderstorm that causes a fire and some Swablu and Altaria are killed. Meanwhile, one of them is injured. They take it in and rescue the injured Swablu. May bonds with it, and the writers of this episode edge us really, really hard, and we think she's going to catch it, but ultimately she doesn't because what the fuck?
There's nothing wrong with edging.
There isn't, but in the context of this episode, everything is wrong with it.
There should be no edging in Pokemon. I agree with that, actually. Exactly. Okay, so as I was saying, the lightning storm strikes a tall tree that the Altaria and Swablu were stupidly staying in the tallest tree for 7 miles, and they get struck by lightning, and there's a huge fire, and they all die. Oh my god.
Oh my god, what a nightmare.
Well, they all fly away, and we see one little Swablu gets pinned by the tree to the ground. Oh my god.
You know, I feel like if any Pokemon is, like, one of the worst Pokemon to catch on fire, it's literally Swablu and Altaria, who are made of, like, cotton.
Oh, they would go up in flames in a second.
Instantly. Instant carnage.
Have you seen that video of the girl? She's holding a candle, and it lights her hair. But she's such a badass, though.
She was. She was just like, fire? And she puts it out.
Oh, but she was so cool.
And she doesn't even, guys, she doesn't even blink. She's such a badass.
And she, like, gives, like, a huge smile. It's like, whoa.
I know, she's literally, like, her whole half of her hair is on fire. It's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome. I wish that girl well, whoever she is.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Altarias all go up in flames. And this one Swablu is pinned under a tree. Oh, my God. It's gonna die. The next morning, we are lost again. Somehow,
how?
Pokenav is taking a trip. It's gone elsewhere. We are leaving Brock in charge, and Brock's navigation abilities are walk in a random direction until you announce you are lost.
Even the narrator's tired of this shit.
But Brock's like, you know what? Who cares? We never age anyway. We're all immortal. So they all stop for lunch, and all the Pokemon gawk when Lombre comes out of its ball. Even though some of the Pokemon had already seen it in the previous episode, but whatever.
Just in case you missed it.
Lombre and Pikachu sense something in the distance. So Pikachu and Torchic run off into the distance and they find the burned trees from last night. And they're able to sniff out, oh my god, there is a Swablu. And it's like a wing is broken or something.
The mangled corpse.
I want to know the skeletal structure of a Swablu.
What
is going on under that puffy wing situation? What's it got going on under there?
So, have you ever seen, like, a picture of an owl?
Okay.
Without, like, its feathers on?
Owl without feathers. Ew! Look at this fucking thing!
I would imagine it's maybe something like that.
Ew, gross.
Google owl without feathers and you'll see what I mean.
I hate it.
So that would be potentially what's going on under there.
Well, all of these Pokemon and people run up on the Swablu, which is like dying on the ground. So it tries to protect itself by using a Sing Attack, which has a very familiar melody you might recognize, by the way.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. So all the twerps are put to sleep. Torchic wakes up and peck attacks May to wake her up. Well deserved, by the way. May had that peck attack from Torchic coming.
I know. The one time it can actually do anything and we actually see it. Revenge.
So May whips out a super potion and she starts bonding with the Swablu immediately. Then she's like, oh, Torchic, I guess you can wake everyone else up. So they all get peck attack too. Then a Nuzleaf appears and everything goes to hell.
Oh my god, no.
It's actually a Nuzleaf that belongs to the forest ranger, Marita.
Is that his name?
He said it was his name.
I don't know how it's spelled. I put a question mark because I wasn't sure. I was like, did he say Marita? I'm not sure.
I'm assuming it's like Pat Marita.
And who would that be?
The man in The Karate Kid is the actor's name. It's Pat Marita.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the few people to have a Japanese name in Japan in the Pokemon anime. Let me just verify real quick that I'm correct before I mistakenly give bad information. And of course, Bulbapedia is not loading. Yeah, his name's Marita.
Speaking of bad information.
Yeah.
I just want to, this is so many weeks ago now, and I'm sure you've all forgotten, but there was some unfortunate wrong answers as a result of the Pokemon Jeopardy that we did.
Oh my god, Jeopardy was wrong?
A couple of the answers were wrong, yes.
What were the wrong ones?
I'm not sure how many were wrong. I do know that one of the questions that I had written down involving, I think it was like a Harry Potter-based question or something. Well, according to the internet, which I shouldn't believe everything I read on the internet, right? Especially not the AI overview.
Alex.
Actually, you know what? Actually, no, it didn't come from the AI overview. It was from a holiday trivia website. I can't remember which one, so sorry. But yeah, it said that you was the answer for the wood, but it was not. It was Holly.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh actually got that question right, and I said, no, it wasn't right, and I felt horrible after I realized that.
Okay.
You would have still won by a lot, but
what was still the other wrong questions, answers?
That was the only one that I remember.
So it was just a Harry Potter question, not...
If there were other wrong ones, I apologize. Just want to say that.
Did you apologize to Josh?
No, I'm sure he doesn't even remember.
No, I'm sure he does not.
Maybe I will. But anyway, I just want to say, if I'm sorry, like, that if anything was wrong, I'm sorry. But it was weighing on my consciousness.
Well, what's weighing on Lombre's head is medicine. That was a bad transition. So, Marita is like, what can I do to help you kids with your injured Swablu? And Ash is like, could you give us free room and board? And Marita is like, yes, I can. So the rest of the episode is spent at his, like, ranger station log cabin.
Oh my god, we deserve a new Pokemon Ranger game.
This is not a Pokemon Ranger, this is just a Forest Ranger. We have not met the Pokemon Rangers yet.
Well, it just got me thinking about it, that's all.
Okay. I don't know how it would work, but you can brainstorm that.
I don't know, we're not cavemen, we have technology.
Oh, I know exactly what it would be.
What?
It'd be a mobile game.
No.
Yes, it would be.
That's not what I want. This better not be some monkey's paw shit.
Look what they're going to announce at Pokemon Day in 2 months' time. It's going to be Pokemon Ranger Mobile.
No, no, no. I take it back. I don't want it anymore. No. No. Oh, God. I shouldn't have said anything.
Sorry to put that out there.
God.
So anyway, okay. We're back at Marita's log cabin. He does not have a capture styler or anything like that. Brock is using Lombre as a tray for the medicine that he's using to treat this injured Swablu. And Marita's like, oh, you're on the way to Petalburg City? I'll just show you the way. It's right over here. And May's like, no! I need to stay here with the Swablu. And everyone's like, great idea. We don't age. We'll stay here forever.
We don't have anything better to do.
But Team Rocket also has nothing better to do. And we have a boss fantasy of Swablu being used as a pillow. And we see Chibi Giovanni is yelling at Chibi Butch and Chibi Cassidy. And after a long day of yelling at Chibi people, he has to sleep on his Swablu pillow. And then he's re-energized and is able to bring his Chibi Team Rocket grunts into battle.
I love that. So cute.
I like the Butch and Cassidy cameo.
His incompetent underlings.
Yep. So apparently, that night, Ash, Brock, and Max all bathe together. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
They all exit the bathroom as a group, and they're like, okay, May, it's time for you to have a shower.
Maybe is there like a steam room or something that they were all just kind of sitting in together? Or
I know Japanese family home bathroom schedules are different from our own, from American ones, where everyone individually goes.
Who was scrubbing whose back?
I don't want to think about it, because we are moving on. But they all, as a group, tell May that it's time for her to take a shower.
At least they're bathing.
Yeah. May, however, does not want to bathe. She wants to stay with the Swablu overnight. She asks Brock, can she take over the medical care? And Brock's like, sure, you do this, 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 and this. And May's like, great. Got it. So then we get a montage of, is it the next day or the next several days? Some length of time pass.
It seems like a couple of days, but I didn't really count.
Yeah. The Swablu heals magically overnight. I guess that's what happens when you're a video game character. You just take some potions and you're done. But unfortunately, mental health is not as easy to heal as physical health sometimes. Because even though the Swablu's wing is back to its bushy, bright self, it mentally has a fear of flying. I would think it would have a fear of being on fire, but that's just me. Sometimes PTSD responses are not rational at all. In fact, it seems like that's often the case.
This is so traumatic.
Ash is like, okay, we're going to fix this Swablu. It doesn't matter how long it takes. We're going to be here for the rest of our lives. We are going to fix the Swablu. So he sends out Talo and says, look, Swablu, you should fly like Talo. And Swablu has a panic attack.
I would also have a panic attack if I saw whatever the hell that drawing error was with Talo.
What happened?
How did it even fly at all with that gigantic head?
Oh.
That was on its body. Talo was looking.
I gotta see it. I gotta see
it. Oh my god. It was looking freakish. Freakish. It was like 80% head.
I mean, Talo always has a big head, but you're saying it's enormous.
It's like an enormous head. It looked weird. It was the first thing I noticed.
Bulbapedia doesn't have the picture.
Gotta go to Serebii.
Gotta go to Serebii.
I felt like it was obvious enough for me to notice, and I really don't notice, like, Talo. Like, it wasn't something that you normally would be drawn to, but I was like, oh my god, why is Talo's head so huge?
In this scene? It looks normal to me.
Gotta look. No. Oh, it's that scene where Talo is facing Swablu with Ash behind. You don't think its head is freakishly large?
I can't find it.
It's 5 down from the bottom. Or 5 down from the top, sorry.
It looks fine to me.
I don't know. It looks like a big freakish head.
It doesn't look that bad to me.
You're entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion.
I like freakishly large head Talo. What can I say? It reminds me of the Fruit Gushers commercials.
Oh, with the big... Oh my god, I hated those commercials.
I know.
Their freaking heads explode. It's disgusting. Anyway.
Talo's freakishly large head that isn't actually that big is not doing the trick. So Ash continues his ashy ways and he straps paper mache wings to himself and Pikachu. And runs in a straight line, jumps, and then lands and says, just like that, Swablu. And Swablu's like, Swablu! And runs and faceplants.
Oh.
This is not going well.
You have to admire Ash's dedication.
He always does the same thing, which is he physically devotes himself to something.
This is when I love Ash the most, when he's being okay. Unapologetically Ash.
That's cute. I think May had a much better idea, maybe more dangerous slightly, but she has Swablu ride on Beautifly's back to make it be like, wow, this isn't so scary. I mean, that'd be terrifying for me, but I'm not a bird.
Exposure therapy.
That's true. Trainers, which one of these Pokemon evolves into Delcatty?
Oh.
Benda, Poochyena, or Skitty?
It's gotta be Skitty, right?
Okay, trainers. If you chose Skitty, you were right, because Skitty is the star of the show now, and it's all about Skitty all the time.
Just as we were talking about how Skitty is now front and center in every single episode, we can't even go another episode without it. It's in the trainer's choice now.
Yep. So, meanwhile, Max has taken some flour, shoved it all over Beautifly, apparently, and comes up with a scenario where Beautifly uses the magic powder to make Taylor learn how to fly. And Taylor does some great acting and goes, Taylor! And learns how to fly right in front of everyone.
That was so adorable.
Even though Taylor could always fly. I guess this is not a very smart Swablu.
I love that they were able to convey their intentions to Taylor and have Taylor commit 110% to the bit of this. I loved it.
I think of Taylor as a pretty smart Pokemon.
It is. It is. But the fact that, I mean, Beautifly is like one thing. You're like, okay, we're going to coat you with like this dust. Okay, now flap your wings or whatever. But Taylor playing the role of like, oh my god, the magic powder worked. I can fly.
Taylor was made for like community theater with like his hamminess.
Oh my god. You're so right. He's a star.
He should have been in commercials and stuff.
Clearly he's wasted with Ash.
He should have been a contest Pokemon.
I know. Ugh. What could have been?
So, Taylor learns how to fly, which it's been able to do the entire time. Swablu's like, oh, maybe I also, too, can learn how to fly. So, Beautifly uses the magic flying powder on Swablu, who seems to have forgotten about its PTSD. And, oh my god, wouldn't you know it, Swablu can fly. Whoa.
See, that's the power of positive thought.
Okay.
Reframing it.
At that moment, Marita, who's been watching them the whole time, comes up and says, by the way, I know where the flock of Swablu and Altaria are, so we can reunite it with its family.
That guy should have butted out.
At that moment, Ash decides, oh my god, I want to learn how to fly too. Beautifly, fuck me up. And Pikachu's like, yeah, let's do it. At which point we learn that there is no magic flying powder, and Ash and Pikachu are idiots. Pikachu at least has the self-awareness to blush over his stupidity. Ash does not.
Well, Pikachu was taken in by Ash's charisma.
Yeah, we know Pikachu has his moments of not thinking for himself.
Ash is like a child, an older child, finding out that, spoiler alert, Santa isn't real.
Santa's real in the Pokemon universe, and he's like an abuser for Pokemon.
Oh, that's true. What am I saying? Yep. In Pikachu's defense, later on, we do get Flying Pikachu.
True. You just gotta tie some balloons to Pikachu. He can fly that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we all get into Marita's van, and we all begin to drive where the flock is, but a pen missile from the bushes flattens our tire. What bad luck. And then Handy Andy appears to grab Swablu. Oh my god. So Team Rocket take off with Swablu because they need a pillow for Giovanni. Swablu sings at them and puts them all to sleep as Cacnea is using pin missile, and it keeps on pin missiling through its sleep, causing the balloon to burst into flames, triggering Swablu's PTSD response. Oh my god. And they're all like freaking out. They're like, oh my god, Swablu is going to die. And they're screaming, oh my god, you have to fly, Swablu. You don't need the magic powder. You just fly, fly, fly. And Swablu's freaking the hell out until May pulls a, do it for me, Swablu! And that makes Swablu get over its PTSD and it flies out of the balloon right as it explodes.
I feel like this is the exact wrong thing to do, to yell somebody who's freshly dealing with their trauma to start screeching at them that, you know, you've got to do it now! As the, like, trauma is right in their face. Like, I don't know much about that, but I feel like I could safely assume that you don't start screaming that it was all a trick as they're like plummeting to their death in a fiery wreckage.
This thing's going to have trauma for a long time to come. I don't think it's going to live for very long.
Oh no.
I don't think it is.
Poor thing.
Team Rocket blast off. And we take the Swablu to a lake where allegedly the Altaria flock is, but they're not there. So May's like, let's do an Ashes Lapras situation, and I will catch Swablu and take it with us, and we will wait and find the flock conveniently, and I'll release it when we find them. And at that moment, the flock returns.
God damn it.
Max is like, but no, we won't. May, you should catch the Swablu. And May's like, no, it's fine. It can go home. It can go to its family. That's what's important. So she her eyes start to well up. She lets out a single tear. Max is blubbering. And the Swa Blue flies away with its flock. But May's holding it together pretty well. And then the episode's over. The end.
This is her Butterfree moment, I feel like.
Yes, it is.
This is such bull.
Oh, you want her to keep it?
Of course I wanted her to keep it. You can't tell me you didn't want her to keep it.
I mean, here's the thing, is I think a Swa Blue / Altaria would fit May really well.
I know.
I would gladly sacrifice Skitty.
Is that what they were thinking? Like, oh, we just gave her a Skitty, so it's too early to give her another Pokemon?
I don't know. Maybe they had too many flying types?
No. Were they just thinking, like, oh, Altaria's too good? It would be too good in contests?
I would love to see it be too good in contests. I would love to see some of that dragon beam shit going on.
I mean, to be honest with you, if she had kept it, they could have run with the trauma thing still and have it overcome, like, a fear of flying and fire, which would have been very interesting dynamic in a contest where Pokemon are using fire moves or whatever.
Ooh, that is interesting. Make it a whole storyline.
Yes.
That's like what Gumi dealt with.
Exactly, with the fear of fairy types. This episode supremely disappointed me.
See, I think the problem with this episode was they weren't coming up with a let's have May make a new catch episode. They were having a let's do a Swa Blue episode. What are we going to do with it? Let's have May bond with it, but she has to let it go. I think that was the thinking behind it. You know what I mean?
You know what? Okay. I think if they were going to go that route, because literally the entire episode, they were putting a huge emphasis on her bonding with it, becoming close friends with it, which is classic Pokemon formula of when a specific character becomes bonded to a Pokemon, it's a very good indication usually that they're going to catch it. And it was leading up to that moment. So I think what would have made more sense is if a different character, like a character of the day, was bonding with it instead and helping it. Like maybe the focus, if they were never going to intend to have May catch it, then Marita should have been the one caring for it the majority of the time. That way there wasn't that really close connection.
Is Marita still an adult man?
I mean, it could have been anybody. It could have literally, I mean, they could have found another Pokemon doctor. I just think that they could have easily maintained the flow of the episode and the story just to remove that bond with May specifically. They could have had another character. But the fact that they had her grow close to it and set it up like she was going to catch it. And even at the end, she pulls out the freaking Pokeball like she was going to catch it. And then they show up. Are you kidding?
I see what you mean. So we care about what May catches and doesn't catch. We don't care about random character of the day and their life's journey. So I get you what you mean. I get you.
I mean, if they didn't want to dangle that carrot and be like, oh, May is setting her up to bond with the Swa Blue and catch it, they could have added a buffer character, and that character could have been the one caring for it. Mm-hmm. And the twerps could be there to help. And so then she wouldn't have that specific bond and it wouldn't be very hard for her to let go because it wasn't really her Pokemon in that sense, you know?
So would you be a fan of an episode in which May bonds with a wild Pokemon with a family and at the end of the episode, the wild Pokemon chooses to leave its family and go with May?
It happened with Treecko.
Remember this question for later.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Oh, you see what I'm doing? Okay.
I see what you're doing. Okay, I don't remember. Actually, I know you're going to probably be like, how can you not remember what her team is? But I legitimately don't.
Yo, you don't remember what she catches for the rest of Hoenn?
No.
Oh, it'll be a surprise.
It could have been this freaking Swa Blue, but apparently it wasn't.
I do think May and Swa Blue make a good match, for sure.
It was adorable. I mean, that would have been an absolute, like, you know, another nail on top of the final nail in Torchic's coffin, considering she has a bird she doesn't ever use.
But... Ooh, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I just had a thought. It would have been perfect. Torchic is a fire type.
Ooh.
Could you imagine how that may have potentially come into play?
Give Torchic a storyline.
Oh, and then, oh, my God, it could have been like this bonding arc between Torchic and Swablu. and Swablu being scared of it, May favoring Swablu over Torchic, Torchic having this, like, its own trauma as a result. Oh my god, oh my god, I'm spiraling out of control, you guys. I'm spiraling just like Solroc. Out of control.
Torchic needs a runaway episode.
If she had caught Swablu, and it could have felt like it was being replaced because it's a bird, Torchic's a bird. Like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
You've convinced me now. I'm team Swablu. I'm team May Swablu.
How perfect would that storyline have been, you guys? Oh my god. Can we go back in time 20 years and tell the Pokemon writers of this episode, like, what were you thinking? Oh, I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
MVP, LVP, end quote?
Sorry, I got carried away. I started having, like, ideas.
I'm so curious what you're going to think of the rest of May's captures after this moment. And what we're going to think about this in retrospect when we're done with Hoenn and done with Advanced.
I'm always going to have a feeling of, like, unfulfilled, you know.
You've been edged for too long.
Edged, yeah. What could have been with Swablu, anyway.
That Swablu was jerking you off with its feather fans.
Ooh.
All right. MVP, LVP, oh, end quote. Heads. Did I lose you, Alex? Are you gone?
No.
Okay, your screen went blank. I thought you hung up on me.
Oh, the Swablu thing was too much.
My MVP. I don't want to give it to May or Swablu, because I feel like you deserve it to give it to them.
Why?
I don't know. You seem more emotionally attached than I am.
That's not how the game is played. You got to go with your gut.
Okay, that's true. My LVP is going to be Morita for... No, he didn't do anything wrong.
He could have delayed... Okay, you know what? He could have delayed their getting to the lake a little bit longer, and then she would have caught Swablu.
He could have engineered a scenario.
Yeah, he could have seen how much they were bonding or something.
This is a hard one. I'm surprised by myself.
You don't have an LVP? That's usually easier than...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I don't have anything.
Oh, I have one, but I want to use it for myself, so...
I can give you the MVP, LVP quote first if you want it. I don't want
it. Are you serious? Oh, my God.
I'm struggling. You can have it. I don't...
You're shirking the duties. Okay. Wow, this is an out of the drying pan first, I think.
Yeah. I think you deserve it more than I do.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. I'm going to give my LVP to... Solroc, Mudkip, and Lombre.
That's a good one.
for causing the weather conditions that we have in this episode inadvertently, and causing the deaths of a bunch of Altaria, Swablu, causing trauma, and then obviously the cascade of the domino effect of what caused this episode. So they're to blame for very all of
good.
This.
Good job.
My MVP... Oh, God. But see, I feel like giving it to May or Swablu would be too easy. It's Ash. I have to give it to Ash. Or, no. Talo?
Yes, that's a good pick. That's an excellent Talo. Pick.
Okay, you can have Ash then. I'm going to give it to Talo for, like what you said, his absolute genius and the fact that he should be a community theater actor because he was so great in the role of Talo learning how to fly for the first time because of the magic powder. Absolutely top tier acting. Okay, my quote is, I have two, but if you don't give the other one, I'm just gonna do an honorary quote at the end. Okay, this is when I guess she's trying to make the case of, like, caring for Swablu, and they're trying to tell her, like, it's okay, May. Oh, this is when she's arguing with Brock, like, who should take care of it, and she's really pushing to be the one, and Max chimes in and he says, forget it, there's no getting through to my sister when she gets something stuck in her head, which reminds me of when she had a crush on this boy in school and she actually tried, and then she grabs him, covers his mouth to cut him off, and I have to wonder what the hell she tried.
I think I rewound a couple times. I think he said she tried to go to, and it's like, where was she trying to go?
To his house?
I don't know.
To where? Oh my god, I'm so curious.
Who knows?
What is this, like, weird, unhinged stalker behavior, May?
I love May Max sibling dynamics.
I know, they're the best. All right, surely you've had enough time to think.
Yes, I have had enough time to think. My MVP is going to be May, because it's a May episode. She deserves it. She was very mature through the whole thing. Yeah, I was expecting her to, like, burst into tears, and it didn't happen. She was very composed the whole time, even though she clearly wanted this thing for herself. But, oh well.
I know. It's too bad.
My LVP is going to be Pikachu.
Your LVP?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Ash being stupid enough to believe in the magic powder makes sense. Pikachu should know better.
Okay, good point.
I give Pikachu LVP when he gets dragged into Ash's nonsense, because he's smarter than Ash. We all know that.
I'm surprised you didn't give Ash MVP for that little cute display of the papier-mâché wings.
But that was cute, but May deserves it more.
Fair enough.
You took the best quote.
Sorry.
So I'll just go with Team Rocket. After they use Handy Andy, who, as we remind ourselves, is red, James says, "You were caught red-handed." And Jesse says, "But don't be swab blue."
LOL.
Not the best. You took the best one.
Sorry. Oh, can I do my backup quote?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is when Ash got taken in by the allure of the magic powder and completely duped. And he says, "Wow, that magic powder is great. We're up next." And he runs up to get coated with the powder. And Max says, "The magic powder is fake, Ash." And Ash is like, "No way. It looked like it was totally real." Ridiculous.
I got a backup quote too.
Oh,
go. In fact, I'm going to replace my quote, and this is my real quote.
Oh.
This is when they're lost. May says, "We're getting pretty good at being lost." Max says, "So why don't we just turn around and retrace our steps?" And Brock says, "Then we'll be lost going backwards." Oh, Brock almost got LVP for that shit.
Yeah, true. Well, Max also, because he has the PokéNav, but
I swear that PokéNav goes in and out of existence.
Yeah, I don't get it. They have selective amnesia or something when it comes to the PokéNav. With that, I think we can move on and you can tell us what we have to look forward to next week.
Well, first we're going to do Gulping It Down.
Gulping It Down.
Gulp, 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 gulp.
I wonder what that episode's about.
It's going to be our Gulp Shitto episode.
Excuse me?
Is that what it's called?
Excuse me?
So, oh, Glup Shitto. That's what it's called. Never mind.
What are you saying?
There is a meme about Star Wars fandom and how they glorify, like, the most minor weird character you've never heard of in your life. And they get all excited for, like, insignificant things. Kind of like the, you know, the original Boba Fett phenomenon.
Sure.
Where Boba Fett became iconic despite doing nothing.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And so people have been like, oh, Star Wars fans, they really love Glup Shitto, who is a fictional example of a Star Wars character who is beloved.
Sorry, I had an Ash moment where I was like, what? I get it. So it's like a fake representation, yeah, of like a nothing character.
Yes.
That becomes a thing. Okay, I see. I see now.
All right. So that's the first episode.
Okay.
And the second one is Exploud and Clear.
Oh, another Exploud. Wait, have we seen Exploud in the actual anime?
We've only seen, what do you call it? What's the middle one?
Loudred.
Loudred. We've seen Loudred a bunch.
Why do I feel like we've seen Exploud a bunch?
Was Exploud and Got a Dance?
Was it, or was that a Loudred?
There was a Loudred and there was a Ludicolo. I don't remember an Exploud.
I don't know. It seems like it's been very prevalent, but I could be completely... Obviously, I'm wrong, so...
Okay. I don't remember anyway. Exploud, but maybe we have. All right, that's it.
Okay. We certainly did take the lombre through those episodes. We talked a lot, but we hope you guys enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch with us and let us know how much you enjoyed it or give us any other kind of feedback, we would always really appreciate it. We love hearing from you guys. So please reach out. Our email is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our social media pages. You can find us on Blue Sky and Instagram @outofthedryingpan is our handle for both. We also have our Patreon. If you want to support this podcast, we would really appreciate any and all support. You can find that link in the description. We've got all kinds of cool bonus content that you could check out. So give that link a click. We would very much appreciate it. And as always, we love to say thank you guys for joining us once again. We hope you had a really great time listening. Austin and his piranha plant say the same. See you guys later. We hope that you join us next week as the journey continues.